North Shore Today on MSONewsSports.com is brought to you in part by the Sylvan Street Grill and the Bradford Tavern, a great place to stop by while you're out on your holiday shopping this month. This is North Shore Today for Friday, December 11th. Hi, everyone. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. And here we are on a foggy Friday, and that has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? A foggy Friday, Rick?
Sounds like something out of the Muppet program.
Yeah, exactly. We got our own, we got our foggy Friday here. So here we are on a Friday, and we'll update some of the news stories and of the day. And Rick, as far as our guest is concerned, it's Chris Cobbs, correct?
Yeah, Chris is one of two deans of students at Gloucester High School. I saw him the other day when I was in trying to find the basketball coaches, and he wanted to talk about a recent story within the Gloucester Times, and he wanted to expand on it, if not clarify it, about a grant that the New England Patriots were involved in with Gloucester High School and other schools that has to do, I think it's called Game Change is the name of it, but what it has to do is about education regarding domestic violence prevention and date violence prevention. And so it's a very informative interview with Chris to explain what it's all about.
Gotcha. Okay. And our daily update on what's going on in Swampscott with the high school principal is a in today's item, the Friday edition of the item, their story indicates that that he's been put on administrative leave, and that's it. And of course, they've also sent home another letter to parents yesterday, apparently. In that letter, it says that there are no allegations being reviewed against the high school principal regarding that would involve students. So, and again, we mentioned yesterday that in the paper yesterday, they had a story that the Beverly Police Department did go, apparently, this is according to the item, did go to the principal's home in Beverly. Assume it was in Beverly. So, anyways, that story continues without clarity, and it's understandable, I guess, a matter of personnel and so on, but that's just the very latest update on the situation at Swampscott High School.
Well, the other thing, Bill, with regard to the interview that I had was Dean of Students Chris Cobbs at Gloucester High School works hand-in-hand with the Gloucester Police Resource Officer, and that is Mike Scola. And Mike was going to be in the interview as well, but he was at a conference yesterday in Peabody that was put on by the Essex County Adult Drug Diversion Program, run by Essex County District Attorney Jonathan Blodgett, and others were there as well, including Attorney General Maura Healey. There's an article, I'm guessing it's probably in most of the papers, but in the Gloucester Times it talks about the fact that there were about 150 police officers from all over the county at this particular educational forum meeting, I guess it was, where the district attorney and the attorney general spoke to the police officers. Interesting to me is that they spoke about several programs, including something called Project COPE, whose executive director, Mark Kennard, provided statistics on opiate addiction. And they talked about two other programs that, the attorney general and or the state, the or the county sponsor, but there was absolutely nothing in there, nothing, at least in the article covered by Ariana McNeil, about the Gloucester Angel program. And I find that very interesting, that it was omitted from the talk.
All right.
Not that I'm reading anything into it, but I'm reading something into it. I just wonder why that was left out, because on the surface it seems to be, I don't know how successful it is, but at least it's movement. And I know in Gloucester, we get frequently, you and I get the updates from John Guilfoyle's public relations firm. We get the press releases about all these other agencies all over the country that are partnering with Gloucester's PARI program and its Angel program in that they're allowing for treatment. They're not arresting people who come in and ask for help, but they're actually getting them help. And so, the omission was, it's kind of glaring to me that it wasn't in part of that conversation yesterday, but maybe there was a reason that I don't know about.
Okay. Well, Rick, it seems like there's another story in the item today, very familiar or similar to stories that we've seen in other newspapers around the North Shore for the last several weeks, and that is in Saugus. It's going to cost more to live there I guess their tax rate's going up, and they estimated at $278 per household, I guess, for the tax rates to be going up. So,
well, you know, it's the way of the world. And, you know, I'm looking at another article by Sean Horgan in the Gloucester Times about monitoring of fishing vessels by the federal government, by NOAA. And what's weird about this, fishermen are going to be suing the federal government over this because the government is saying, okay, we're going to put monitors on your boats. I don't know if you remember the movie The Hunt for Red October, but it opened up with a member of the Communist Party, you know, in the captain's quarters on the boat on the submarine. And this member of the Communist Party was on every single ship apparently, and had to make sure that the captain was adhering to communist rules and so on. And the federal government is requiring that monitors go on every single fishing boat, NOAA monitors. But NOAA says run out of money to pay for them, so the fishermen have to pay for them. So the fishermen are saying, what are you talking about? Not going to happen. So the fishermen are suing NOAA, and on it goes. The other thing, mentioned the MCAS results and park ratings about the schools on Cape Ann. And interesting, both Rockport High School, or all of the high schools, Rockport, Gloucester, and Manchester Essex, are all level one high schools, according to state results. So, you know, whatever you think of those tests, whatever, it's good to see good news. And there's a nice editorial in the Times about how well the schools on Cape Ann are doing. And, you know, as an educator, we don't see those kinds of things very often, so it was good to see.
Yep, absolutely. Well, here we are on a Friday, and we've got the big weekend coming up, and I know we talked yesterday, and we have a post up on the website from earlier this week on the events going on in Swampscott. They've got the artificial ice down there and so on in Swampscott, getting ready for a lot of festivities that will be starting tomorrow over in Swampscott. And I guess there are a lot of other festivities happening around the North Shore here as we creep ever closer to that Christmas holiday time.
I got to tell you, Bill, I was out running yesterday, and I was listening to your program. And I started playing those videos you have from yesterday's North Shore Today show. And I got to the Paul Lynde video.
Yeah.
And of course, listening to it, I'm not watching it while I'm running. But I had to stop running. I was laughing so hard, I couldn't catch my breath. Those are great.
Yeah, well, we don't have anything up there right now, but maybe we'll put something up there for today. Yeah, I mean, he's... you know, I've seen interviews and about that. Well, you know, he's got to have been tipped off to those questions, or somehow or other, there's a way of crafting them. Or he's got to have been tipped off to something about those questions. You know.
Yeah, they weren't rehearsed, but yeah, he was aware of what was coming. And what was the other thing? The thing that surprised me, Bill, is listening to it rather than watching it. Listening to it, you get a different observation of the timbre of the voices, and I didn't recognize Peter Marshall's voice. And Paul Lynde's voice is so full. It's such a great voice that I was surprised by that, because when you watch it on TV, you don't get that. But just listening to his voice, God, what a terrific voice he had.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I had not thought about that. So, all right. Well, I think what we'll do is we'll jump in. We've got your interview coming up, Rick, and then we'll touch base, talk some sports here in a few minutes as well. It's North Shore Today, and it's Friday, and we got the weekend just ahead here, so hang in there with us. Don't forget, you can email us at msonewsports@gmail.com. Now you got me doing it, Rick. And
Sorry.
Yeah, then our Twitter feed is at msonewsports. So there you go. It's Friday, and this is North Shore Today.
With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore, and we're in the office of the Dean of Students at Gloucester High School, one of the Dean of Students, Chris Cobbs, and one of the deans. I have trouble with my plural sometimes, but Chris, you know, we go back a long way. We taught together, and now you're an administrator. I did read in the Gloucester Times recently a couple of things that I questioned, and one of them, in fact, as a matter of fact, today on Thursday, I questioned the result of some of the MCAS and PARC testing, but that's another story for another day. Back on topic here, there was a survey that went out about bullying that made headlines in the Gloucester Times, and then there was another story recently that had to do with a grant that, according to the headline in the Times, had to do with bullying. So maybe you can put this in perspective for us and tell us what that's all about.
Absolutely, and thank you, Rick. So we recently qualified for a grant called the Game Change, which is the Patriots Anti-Violence Partnership. This is something that Gloucester High School has worked in collaboration with the Gloucester Police Department, Chief Leonard Campanello, Lieutenant Mike Gossam, and our school resource officer, Mike Scola, along with health teacher, Rosa Francis. With that being said, you know, we've really kind of dove into some of the topics that help teaching and learning that we can't control. The biggest thing about that I see in teaching and learning is developing relationships with the students. And with that being said, this anti-violence campaign was all about educating students, encouraging them to become educated themselves, empower the high school leaders and mentors to educate the younger students on these issues and basically become role models in their schools and the community. So with that being said, when the grant came up from Attorney General Maura Healey and Robert Kraft, Michael Scola jumped right into place and said, this is something we want to get involved with. And I agreed wholeheartedly. Rosa Francis was, an intricate part in making this happen because part of this is rolling this into, there's two phases. Initially there's 90 schools involved, and it'll be 180 personnel that get educated over a three-day seminar. And then, more importantly, there's a phase two that only 30 schools get involved, and that's more in-depth. And that would be implemented into either your health curriculum, your advisories, athletics, clubs, etc. Some way, shape, or form, you need to show that you're not only trained in this, but you are utilizing it.
All right, so how does this, how is this different from what ordinarily goes on in health class now? It sounds to me as though this could be something that classroom teachers might be a little bit more involved in, get a handle on, and as you mentioned, coaches, so that it can become more of an obvious, and I don't like the word proactive, but a proactive event rather than a reactionary thing.
Mm-hmm. So when if you gloss over something in your curriculum, I want this to be something, Gloucester is a community that is very tight-knit. This is a place that I've grown up in. I've, now been in education here since 2003. And with that being said, I that was what made me succeed in my classroom was the relationships that I was building. And I know that, domestic violence, has reared its head here. Mm-hmm. When you looked at, national statistics, I think the numbers are 1 in 3 adolescents nationwide are victim to either physical, sexual, emotional, or verbal abuse from a dating partner. So with those statistics, we wanted to say, it is going on, and like you said, how do we get out in front of this? So with this ability, this allowed us to, there's some grant funding, but the training in itself is going to be coming from the MVP, which is Northeastern University, mm-hmm. Sport and Society. That's something I'm passionate about. I was a social studies teacher, varsity football and varsity baseball coach. It was a class that I actually wanted to implement was sport and society. Mm-hmm. And if we can tie these two things together, it is something that makes violence or dating violence and things like that, which is very unattractive, attractive by tying it into sport and society and getting people to become more educated.
Okay. Now, you got a little specific here. The paper, the way I read it, was a little bit more general, talking about bullying. And from what I'm seeing here and what I'm hearing is, obviously in sports we have these high-profile cases of domestic violence. So we're talking about date violence prevention type thing, and we're talking about adolescents maturing into young adults, and we're talking about trying to recognize situations, dangerous situations, before they happen. So I'm guessing that this would be both a male and female education process.
Absolutely. This is not one-sided. This is basically to make students become aware of, that it is going on, and B, what some of the signs are, mm-hmm. and, through this program, you'd be training trainers, so then those that become educated are taking it back. Mm-hmm. If it goes to a second phase, you start educating the students, so upperclassmen would then be working with underclassmen and their parents. Mm-hmm. The article in the Gloucester Daily Times, which referenced a lot about bullying, they do go hand in hand, because, you know, with the domestic violence or any type of violence or any of these history, with social media today, it gets spread there, and now it becomes a harassing or potentially a bullying idea.
A leading question that I have then, I mean, in all the years I was at a teacher at the high school, in 38 years, I came across, I want to say, two overt examples of bullying that I observed and reported to the administration. Two. How does that get reported in the high school? And I don't want you to get into specifics. Mm-hmm. Again, it's a leading question. But, when that... How does it happen? Have you had cases of bullying? Do teachers come and say, this kid's getting pushed around, I can see it? Or does a kid go to a teacher and say, go to someone and help me out? What's the history of this in your tenure as an administrator?
Well, great question. I would have to say that this, harassment and bullying comes to me from a number of different avenues. It does come sometimes directly from parents. It comes to me from, most of the time, friends of students that it's happening to.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. And sometimes I'll have, after the first occasion, I'll call that student down, and there'll be a student that'll follow up, a separate student, and I'll say, I want to thank them. I want to empower these students to know that... Yeah. This is what I need to happen, because everything should be looked into and investigated. I'm not here to determine severity until after the investigation. But if this is taking place and it's distracting the teaching and learning that's going on, that's my main focus. If a student feels uncomfortable, emotionally because of this, mm-hmm. then I need to stop it and let them know that we take it serious here at Gloucester High School. So what happens is we come in, we start off the investigation, because like you said, you in all your years of working at Gloucester High School, the amount of bullying incidents that hit that level of severity was very minimal. And I would say that I agree with that wholeheartedly. I don't have, I have some documented cases, but nothing that got to police charges of harassment because what happens is in the initial phase, that we determine that this could be leading in that direction, we have instituted a document that outlines what Massachusetts general law is on harassment. Mm-hmm. We read through what that is. We notify the parent, both the student and the administrator sign off on it, that they recognize and understand what harassment mm-hmm. is. And if this potential pattern continues, that's where this would lead. So, although you're not proactive in necessarily that it has happened, because something has happened to start this, we do try to be proactive in eliminating it getting to the level of, criminal harassment or bullying.
And what's made everything more complex, obviously, in the last few years is social media. So, yeah. And that's pretty much, it's a blank palette. It's brand new territory. It's uncharted. And we see all the time new things, new ways of dealing with it. So, what's the impact been in your experience?
It is, the single most, agent for spreading rumors getting students to feel that they are being, attacked mm-hmm. or harassed. And that is what it comes to. There was a couple of sites, Yik Yak or Snapchat
right.
and
last
things like that.
Last,
yes, right, and I have to say that Officer Scola, our school resource officer, with the help of parents, we were climbing the ranks, and I don't know, I think that it does mean stuff to students, and they were at a number two, and I think they were heading to number one, and it got eliminated. Mm-hmm. So that was something that we said, we're going to take this serious. If it does involve pictures, images here at the school, then we're handling it as school discipline. But also what happens with the social media, Facebook, Twitter, and things like that, things that are posted, at 10 o'clock on the weekend, if it ends up coming in, and it gets brought to our attention, we want to address it and let them know that this cannot, like I said, once again, interrupt the teaching and learning that goes on here. Although Facebook and Twitter, they help with immediacy of contacts or getting information at times, it has made the job of a dean of students, assistant principal, teachers, parents, that much more.
Well, I'm sure it's difficult, and I know some of the older generations, such as myself, it's a new experience. I love technology and media, but I know there are some teachers who resist that. So, it's a transition right now, obviously. And you bring up Officer Mike Scola, and I think probably I have two questions left. What is the role of Mike in all of this with respect to game change and how he works with you, or you work with him, and how he works in the building? You know, what exactly is the role of a school resource officer? And I ask this probably out of ignorance, because yep. the headlines are all Daesh. It's all gun control.
Yep.
It's all, you know, Sandy Hook and Columbine, horrible, horrible tragedies. But I see Mike in the building, and I see this gregarious police officer whom I knew as a student, who's just a bundle of energy and goodwill. So what's his role here? What does he do?
Developing relationships and partnerships with, you know, Gloucester Police Department and Gloucester High School. In that he's a resource, exactly that. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not somebody that it's the badge and gun and handcuff mentality, but rather, you know, we have the Gloucester U program here, and we have a student academy that he has run now for 2 years, and with the biggest numbers in Gloucester U, and it is incredible. Going up to Salem District Court, meeting the judges, going to the firing range, it's endless in how he has helped, you know, really get students to understand the role of the police, mm-hmm. and more importantly, Gloucester Police. But he works very closely with the two deans. I am his direct report. We work very closely. In terms of discipline, he's the last man in. He only gets the information after we have processed all of this, and if it is need be. But ultimately, another set of eyes out making sure things are secure in our building. That's more so. It's not necessarily about him helping with the students, mm-hmm. but, you know, do we have a secure building? Is he able to go in and talk about constitutional law when our social studies department's working there? He's worked with forensics for science. And yes, we want him to be approachable, mm-hmm. as we do the administrators. And I would say that that's what has changed since, you know, we call it the 50s, 60s, 70s. Right. You know, the administrator, people say, you know, Mr. Cobbs, you're not that stereotypical administrator I saw or I remember when I did with the parents. I said, you know what? I'm here to be a resource for your students. I want them to be successful in their 4 years of high school, but I really want them to be successful in their post-secondary decisions. Mm-hmm. And I feel that the deans of students are just that. We make the connections you asked earlier about the teachers and the guidance counselors and things like that. We tie those things together. But, you know, I can't say enough about Chief Campanello, Lieutenant Gossam, and Officer Scholar, and what they have done to create this collaborative environment, whether it be working with Rosa Francis with the Distractology, which is a program that we run for texting and driving or impaired driving awareness. The Gloucester PD has just been great.
You running for office?
No.
Sounded like it. All right, well, I hope that you can set me up with an interview between you and Mike Scholar as well, because I'd love to talk with him. Final question, though, Chris, is so what's the next step in this process of getting a game change implemented into the high school? What comes next?
All right, so the game change is going to be a 3-day training with both Officer Scholar and I attending. With that being said, it's 2 days of curriculum, one day of scenario, and then fingers crossed, we get, you know, when it dwindles down to the 30 schools, that we will then get that as well. And with that being said, you know, like I said, I just think it's a major need for the city of Gloucester, and I'm excited for the opportunity.
Cool. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
All right. That is Dean of Students Chris Cobbs at Gloucester High School with MSONewsSports.com. I'm Rick Moore.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan, and today I'd like to speak to you about the North Shore Student Athlete Program. Sponsored by Moynihan Lumber in conjunction with the Salem News, the Daily Item, the Newburyport Daily News, and the Gloucester Times. The program, now in its 24th year, celebrates high school students who excel not just on the playing field, but in the classroom as well. Male and female winners are chosen each month. All student athletes must be nominated by their coaches. Nominations for the program are made via email to nsstudentathlete@gmail.com. Youngsters who are nominated must have a B average or better. Monthly winners are then eligible to be selected as Student Athletes of the Year. Yearly winners and their families are recognized at a luncheon at the Salem Country Club held in early June. Please remember, all youngsters playing a varsity sport at any high school on the North Shore, public, private, or parochial, are eligible.
Moyna Hand Lumber, we measure up.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies, and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Welcome back to North Shore Today. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. This is our little sports segment at the tail end of our program. And we have some jamboree action coming up tonight and tomorrow. We have posts up on the website with that information. The Benedetto Boys Basketball Jamboree is at Lynn English High School this afternoon and tonight, while the girls Duchesne Jamboree is at Lynn Classical High School at tomorrow, Saturday. And that'll start, I think it's like 2:30 in the afternoon. But all the posts, all the games are up there on our Jamboree preview post, which is up here today on the website. And Rick, high school hockey Saturday?
We got hockey. I'll get to that in 1 second. Just want to remind our visitors that we do have a scoreboard hotline and, of course, the email, and it's already up and working. Dave Jellerson, you know, the legendary Dave Jellerson over at Beverly High School checked in last night as the Beverly girls, this is a real surprise, the Beverly girls track team opened up with a win as I think they're probably the first team to get started. They and Marblehead had a track meet yesterday, and Beverly off, I guess they won 8 of 10 events, according to Dave. Very succinct, very quick. It's a very 15 to 20-second report by Dave, but it's there, and we appreciate it. And once again, boy, Beverly Girls looks like the team to beat once again around here. But, yeah, we got hockey coming up.
Well, wait a minute, Rick. Maybe we should talk to Dave and tell him to tighten it up a little bit. I mean, we don't have 15. We don't have all that 15 seconds to waste. I mean, if he could get it down to 11 seconds, then maybe we could click on and listen to that report. But he's got to be a little bit more concise, taking 15 seconds of our day. Come on.
Yeah, and isn't there a way, Bill, where we can speed it up, too, somehow with the software? I don't know. It'd be like a five-second blur.
It probably is,
But he got all the information in, and my point is that I appreciate the coaches. You know, coaches, listen to this. I appreciate the coaches being part of it, because once again, we can get this information right out there. I think he called in around 8 o'clock last night, or maybe even earlier, and we had that thing posted right away. So it's a great little resource that we have. So want to mention that, take advantage of it, let people know that, you know, we are doing that. But yeah, with high school hockey, we got Danvers and Marblehead. They open up the season early. They're playing, Danvers and Gloucester. Danvers and Gloucester tomorrow night in Gloucester. I do have emails and phone calls out to the coaches. Hope to get all the information up there. And as of now, we are planning to broadcast that game at 6 p.m. tomorrow night from the town at the O'Malley School in Gloucester. So it's Danvers and Gloucester. They're the traditional rivals, of course. Usually they play, the eighth or ninth game of the season. But they're opening the season against each other. And should be interesting. A new coach. In Danvers, and a second-year coach in Gloucester. So plenty more of that coming up over the weekend.
You know, I just wanted to say one thing about the Duchesne girls basketball jamboree that, Paul Duchesne was, we go back. This takes us back to the early 80s, I believe. He was the head football coach at Lynn English High School. He was also, in the wintertime, he was a girls high school basketball coach in Lynn. And later on, after I think he was coaching at maybe a different place here and there, but he was a good football coach, a very passionate football coach. But, you know, back years ago, girls sports in the high schools was ramping up. I mean, it's pretty big right now. It's you know, obviously there's laws and regulations about equal funding and so on and equal access and all that's good. But at the time, girls' sports were ramping up. And it's not that they didn't have girls' sports back then. I mean, I'm not that ancient. But it was the fact that, you know, they were ramping up. And And I think he was, he was one of those guys that could do both. I mean, he was a football coach, you know, but also a very good girls basketball coach. Passed away way too early, and I had a chance to meet him, obviously a number of times when covering for WESX, and really a good guy, and I understand why they named the Jamboree after him. And of course, the basketball Jamboree, we forget these things. I don't want people to forget who they're named after. Elmo Benedetto, the former athletic director in Lynn, and he was a citywide athletic director back in the day, and he was also ran the Aganis Games. And the Aganis Games at that time, I think, was just the football game, which I say just the football game, but it was a big event back then. And he did it all. He was like a one-man show running that piece, and he was very committed to Harry Aganis, the legacy of Harry Aganis, and also helping Lynn kids move on and out of high school and into college.
Yeah, it's important, Bill, I think, that we educate people on that, especially the younger kids who don't know about these names and where they came from. And again, I'm always amazed when kids don't know. Especially kids who are into sports, when they don't know, you know, the history of the sport or some of the great moments in the sport. And I just remember all the kids that I used to play ball with back when I was just a little shaver. We all read about sports. We all, you know, were diving into the papers, into Sport Magazine and Sporting News and Sports Illustrated, and going to the library and reading these sports books. So we knew about all those guys. And locally, on the scene, I think sometimes it's even a little harder. And I do want to give you my appreciation for you. When you came to WESX, you went out and met those guys, talked to those people, and still doing it. And it's good to know, you know, where these guys came from. And I remember Paul Duchesne, as you mentioned, leaving us way too early. In a nasty tragedy, it was awful. And then he actually, I do remember, Bill, that. I believe he was having a heart attack, and he actually drove himself to the hospital that day, if I recall correctly. And Elmo Benedetto, just the job that he had to do. I mean, my goodness gracious, think about that. The athletic director for the whole city of Lynn. These guys were great, and you're right. The name continues, and it's great that the people running these programs now, keep these programs at such a high level in the names of those guys being honored.
All right, so that'll do it. Again, basketball jamborees, and again, we got a post on that on the website. And thanks a lot for being with us. It's Friday, foggy Friday here on North Shore Today. With Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell on MSONewsSports.com.